But let me take this opportunity and congratulate the Honorable Minister Hui for his new deployment in the Department of Water and Sanitation. We wish him well there in executing the mandate of that department, especially in providing water and sanitation in the PCI area, the previously disadvantaged area, which is rural area. And also to welcome the M-Squadra, and to welcome the new minister in absentia, Honorable Mike Ngwane Mashabane, for her new deployment in this committee. I think she will be informed that this committee sits every Wednesday. She will be informed that we expect the minister to be part of the committee meeting. She will be informed about the operation of this committee, what were the outstanding issues that need to be further processed. The new minister for the department's mandate has not yet changed, not new. We have to continue where we've ended. Members are aware that there are lots of outstanding issues that we have to follow up, that we have to deal with after this process of self-titles. The DM to convey the message to the new minister when they have their meeting about the committee meeting every Wednesday, as you are aware also that cabinet is sitting. The minister will make sure that she balanced the two. Without a waste of time, can I request Kamala to indicate the apologies that were received?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, PMs and colleagues. I've got apologies from MP Alorati, MP Matindi, and MP Walter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning. I just want to send the apology of our minister to the cabinet. She's aware that for the control of the community, so I just want to send that apology.
Thanks, just to indicate that I will leave the meeting at 12:30. I'm not suggesting that we finish our business there, but I will leave it at 12:30.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Those are the apologies that you have received. Can you not let them continue? Let me indicate to Honorable Mugumi that there's one matter to be attended to. I think they've noted. Can you please attend to it as urgent as possible? Can we proceed with our meeting? Looking at the minutes of the 21st of February 2018, this is one of the minutes. Thank you.
5.5. The chapter meeting, that end episode.
Thanks for that opportunity, Chair. I'm looking at the paragraph dealing with 10D. It's the fifth one from the bottom, that is the bullet point number. I think there's just one word missing there, because it should be just and equitable, instead of just equitable, because the meaning is totally different if you leave it like that, just equitable.
Starting from 13 and that is point 13. Because I found another copy, the one where I was printing the other packet. Thank you. Good morning again, Chair. 13 minutes, honorable 13 minutes, honorable colleagues. We now on page 13, Chair. I read, thank you. Amendment of Section 13 of Act 38 of 1996. Clause 13. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 13 of the Principal Act. I'm asking a picture off record. The one in bold we don't already do initially. Thank you. 13.1A, the edition there is A, a division of the High Court or a Magistrate Court having jurisdiction in respect of the area in which the property of the association is situated, may, comma, on application made by the registrar, comma, an association or any member thereof, or any other interested person, place the association under the administration of the registrar, or grant a liquidation order in respect of an association, whether association because of insolvency or maladministration, or for any other cause, is unwilling or unable to pay its debt, or is unable to meet its obligation, or when it is otherwise just and equitable in the circumstances. B. If an association is placed under administration of the registrar as contemplated in paragraph A, the registrar shall, subject to any conditions as the court, comma, minister or DG may determine, administer and manage the affairs of the association and perform the functions of the association according to the provisions of this Act. Provided that if the registrar is unable to administer or manage the affairs of such an association, or if it will be in the best interest of the association but it be administered or managed by another person, the registrar may, in consultation with the Director General, appoint any competent person to administer and manage the affairs of the association and to perform functions of the association according to the provisions of this Act, provided further that any person so appointed shall act under the supervision of the registrar. C. Any competent person convicted in paragraph B who is not in the full-time service of the state may, from the fund of the department, be paid such remuneration and allowances in respect of the services rendered as the minister, with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, may determine from time to time. D. Any expenses relating to the administration and management of the affairs of the association which have been placed under the administration of the registrar shall be defrayed from any funds held by the association, and should such funds be insufficient, from the funds of the department as may be made available by the Director General. I need a bigger font, a better one. Three. The registrar may, upon return application by an association, cause such an association to be deregistered if he or she is satisfied that a resolution in favor of the deregistration was adopted at a meeting attended by a substantial number of the members of the association. B. The resolution was adopted by at least 50% of the members present or for the members of the meeting. And C. All relevant matters which reasonably have to be addressed prior to the deregistration, including the way in which the assets and liabilities of the association will be dealt with, have been addressed. 4. Where the court orders the liquidation of an association, it shall make such order as to the distribution of the assets of the association as it deems just and equitable, having considered any recommendations which the DG or registrar may make in this regard. 5. The minister may prescribe the procedure to be followed in an application contemplated in subsection 1 and set out the powers and duties of the Director General, the registrar, the association, member, and interested parties in those situations. Shall I proceed? Amendment of section 14 of Act 28 of 96. 14. Section 14 of the Principal Act is hereby amended A by the substitution of section, by the substitution rather, in subsection 1 for paragraph C of the following paragraph. Quote, new paragraph C. Abuse is any power or authority vested in him or her by the members of the association by doing anything or refraining from doing anything, or threatening to do or refrain from doing anything in such a manner that the benefits or rights of a member are prejudiced or threatened. B. By the admission of subsection 1 of paragraph E. C. By the admission of subsection 1 of the following paragraph. Quote. F. Breaches the provision of the Constitution relating to financial matters. G. Contravening the provisions of section 11(9) or 12(1). H. Interferes with the work of the competent person contemplated in section 13, or an interim committee contemplated in section 11, or and destroyed without the consent of the registrar any document which may serve as proof of an investment, encumbrance, alienation, or disposal of communal land or property. 14d. By the deletion of subsection 2 and e. By the substitution of subsection 3 of the following subsection. Quote 3. In a prosecution or any proceedings of the eviction of any person from communal land administered and managed by administration, a certificate issued by the registrar in terms of subsection 2 shall be prima facie proof of the correctness of the content thereof. Close quote.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy. Honorable members, can we talk to Section 13? Honorable Papa, Honorable Sutani.
Thank you, Chair. The only thing that I can see is under Section 13, that is 3A. A resolution in favor of deregistration was adopted at a meeting attended by a substantial number. I am a bit worried about that substantial number. Can we not say at least 60% of the members against? That is all, Chair.
Another question?
No, Honourable Papa has already covered the second point that I wanted to address. And I think if we look at the deliberations of the 21st February, that's where we'll find an appropriate answer. For that, I'm going back to 1518, line 9, from the top. Or any member thereof, or any other interested person, relates the association. I assume that there will be a process that one has to follow in order to end up actually placing the association. Under the administration of the registrar. Now, I want to suggest, Chair, that we prefix the placement by saying apply for the placement of, instead of just placing. And that's why I advance this statement that I assume there will be a process so that the person who makes the application or to start the process does not assume that they just do the placing of the association under administration. That's why I say apply for the placement so that if anybody wants to counter or whatever, then they've got an opportunity to get involved. Excuse me. Then I go further to 13D. A little bit concerned about the fact that expenses relating to administration and management will now be covered by the department. That may lead the association to handle matters recklessly, knowing that the department underwrites their recklessly incurred indebtedness. Because imagine the case we came across, I think it was in Quinsal, where somebody decided to sell everything, go to Cape Town and buy a taxi, went away with 2 million. Now, as a result of that kind of action, then the association is placed in a similar situation. In a similar situation, then the department has got to cost 2 million if it must keep the association alive. So it's the concept of the department underwriting, where already it's possible that the department has spent millions acquiring land for these people, and when they conduct have their business in a reckless manner and end up being placed under administration, then the trustman comes up to the government and says, so move on. The other citizens of South Africa that need the assistance of the department. So I don't buy into that clause, in other words. Sure. And then we move on to 13, oh, that's covered already, 14H, the next page. 14A, the very last sentence of 14A to the line number 11, 13, line 13. That last line starts with the word A, member, perfectist. Now, when it comes to issues of the court, it's possible that a person may get away with murder here just because we did not provide for a situation where it could be members that are prejudiced. And the person says, no, if we interpret the law accurately, the law was about about the association being prejudiced by one member. If there are three or four of us who end up being prejudiced, then I'm not responsible for that. Maybe I'm being too restrictive. Maybe our legal team can advise us on whether my interpretation is not unnecessarily too restrictive yet. Thanks, Chair.
Any other
thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you and honorable members and colleagues. Starting with the, I would just like to make one comment in relation to the honorable member Sultan's comment, the last comment about the plural on any member. The rule of interpretation of statutes, as provided for in the Interpretation Act, Chair, provides that where a in context where a singular is provided for. In the context of that provision, it can be interpreted to mean plural. So a plural will not be excluded from the application of that act because it's not been provided for in terms of the rules of interpretation. It is correct, yes. It's not necessary to amend it. Relating to the expense relating to the administration, it appears to me that the department will probably like a special on this one from an implementing perspective. But it appears to me that context relates to when, in an instance, when the association is under administration, under the curatorship of the registrar, and the administration costs the business, it should be that of the person charged for the administration. And therefore there's a context to it, and therefore the good faith is therefore bound into the performance and agreement of the department with the register. And the issue of the 60% threshold to replace the substantial number, I see in B the 60% threshold is also provided for. However, if the members insisted that we make that change to reflect the 60%, we could just in drafting make sure that 60% applies to both A and B.
Thank you. Advocate, thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, honorable member. The last translation to 18.3A, the 60%, I think the members of the election, we have the 60% situation in progress. I don't think it should be necessary to repeat it in A and B. Otherwise, we may have to delete A if you want to. But from the first matter, I think we are comfortable with both. When we talk about substantial number and 50%, to emphasize the 50% requirement. On the information to 13.1A, I think it was honorable to turn with respect to the placing under administration, where it says by any other interested person, place an association. If the member looks at that particular paragraph in line 8, it states that it is on application by certain the court. So that application has taken place in the sentence preceding the one that was prepared. In line 8 in particular, it refers to an application being made to court for placing that is under administration. On the sentence 13.1.3, as stated, it is correct. It is where the association is placed under administration of the register, and also where the funds itself themselves are insufficient to have. So that's where the department will assist. I think that takes care of. And 14AT, the part that was the 30 days of lesson, that is the part that relates to offenses in the act. If we look at this 14A, if we look at the principal act in reference to that particular paragraph C, it says as an opening paragraph, it says a person can be guilty of an offense if or she then see abuses any power or authority that's in it. So the paragraph continues up to that end. And then it could be a member of the association or members who feel threatened or prejudiced. They should have the right. So remember, they will lay a charge, and the charge will be investigated for it to be an offense. And so that the person will be found guilty of. It's not like a person simply declares that I'm certain and the person is guilty. There must be a process that investigates that as a criminal offense. And comes to the conclusion that indeed there is a case against the particular member. Thank you very much.
Now, the members, the issues raised by the other side, any follow-up?
I'm satisfied with the explanation.
What are we telling you with regards to the 50% substantial number? Vis-a-vis the substantial number. We agree on the 50%, but there was an indication as well that we had to reach 50% on the first line and second line.
Thanks, Chair. As instructed by the majority opposition party. Some loyalty on the left hand side of the house. Seriously, Chair, the idea here, and I think this was where there was some thinking, similar lines with the Honorable Papama, is to avoid words which potentially may be interpreted ambiguously. So remember on the 21st, we're dealing with the word inclusive, and we agreed that we must just put a percentage there. And so in line with that kind of thinking, I am therefore for a specific percentage in order to avoid ambiguity. Thanks.
So
we
agree on this.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other names on section 18 and 14? Madam
Chairman? If you, for instance, the doctor's business is on plan on this group,
this, but we can refer to as to the limitation in section D.
I think we are not experiencing this for the first time, but we spent this month, we allowed the difference of that issue, the 50%. We agree on that proposal. Madam Papa.
Yes,
Chair, we do.
Thank you very much.
It has, because when you look at A and B, it's almost the same present. So can't you delete A? And integrate the B.
There's a second proposal that we integrate A and B to the one sentence. Because it talks about the resolution in favor of the registration, which is adopted at the meeting attended by the official number one of the association. Then it talks about the resolution that is adopted by at least 50% of the members present at the meeting. The resolution of the registration of an association. Just to integrate the A with B. How is it?
We can bring to the for common member consideration a draft clause that combines the two A clauses.
Do you agree on that proposal,
Yes, Honorable Chair. We look forward to that draft.
Thank you very much. Can I proceed? Section 15, I substitution of section 15 of Act 28 of 1996 as amended by section 6 of Act 61 of 1998. 15. The following section is hereby substituted for section 15 of the Act.
Does this anything that's written anyhow there are things of really, really quality assurance issue? Anything is written any and then things, any and things. And then at some point it's one anything. In the section of reading.
Okay.
Many times, yeah. The opposite one observes is cutting to many words. Maybe it's just to be noted, it was not even a matter for debate. Yeah. Page 14, that's one shape, yeah. So just to make it one word, anything. The summer way goes as the summer. Okay. Shall we just take a principle chair that's because I showed more than one. Yeah. But the principle will combine it with one way.
Thank you, Honorable.
Honorable.
15, the following section is hereby substituted for section 15 of the Principal Act. 1, the registrar may A, delegate to any officer of the CPA office or department any power conferred upon him or her by or under this Act, comma, either generally or in a particular sense, comma, except the power to register an association. B, authorize any such officer to perform any duty assigned to him or her by or under this Act. 2, any delegation under this section shall not prevent the exercise of the relevant power by the registrar himself or herself, and the registrar shall be entitled to rescind, review, or withdraw any decision or action taken by any person to whom he or she has delegated any power. 16. The following section is hereby substituted for section 16 of the Principal Act. Appeal 16. Any person aggrieved by a decision of the Registrar or Director General may, in the prescribed manner, appeal to the Minister, who may uphold the appeal in whole or in part and rescind or vary the decision or dismiss the appeal. Amendment of Section 17 of Act 38 of 1996, 17. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 17 of the Principal Act. 17.1. The Registrar shall annually and in respect of the preceding financial year submit to the Minister a report complying with the provisions of subsection 2 concerning associations and the extent to which the objects of this Act are being achieved, and the Minister shall table the report in Parliament. 2. The report contemplated in subsection 1 shall indicate the total number of associations registered since the commencement of this Act, and in respect of the reporting year, contain information in respect of A. The number of associations registered in compliance with the provisions of section 2.1, including but not limited to the names of the associations, the number of members thereof, and information relating to the immovable property administered and managed by the associations, including but not limited to descriptions of the immovable property and information relating to the provisions of section 12.1. B. The number of similar entities declared as associations in terms of section 2.3 or to which the provisions of this Act have been made applicable as contemplated in section 2.3, including the names of the similar entities or declared associations, the number of members thereof, and information relating to the immovable property administered and managed by such entities or declared associations, including but not limited to descriptions of the immovable property and information relating to the provisions of section 12.1. C. The number of associations registered and the reason therefore. D. Any dispute dealt with in accordance with the provisions of this Act, including information in respect of the nature of the dispute, the person appointed to resolve any dispute, and the recommendations made by such persons and accepted by the Registrar. E. The number of associations placed under administration, the reasons therefore, any conditions applicable thereto, and the financial implications thereof. F. Persons found guilty of any offence as contemplated in section 14, including but not limited to the nature of the offence and the sanction imposed. G. Any appeals lodged in accordance with the provisions of section 16, including but not limited to the nature of the appeal and the decision of the appeal authority. H. The budget and expenses of the CPA office. I. Any matter as may be directed by the Minister or Director General. And J. Any matter deemed necessary by the Registrar.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Honourable members, can we look at section 15, 16 and 17? Any comments? Honourable Chairman?
Sure. I want to comment on something which is not contained in this section 17. If we go back, we will recall that the purpose of the establishment of the CPAs is for them, amongst other things, to run viable enterprises. Now, all the aspects on which a report is supposed to be based or which are supposed to be covered by by this report relate to everything except the success or failure of an enterprise. This is just pure, raw administration. And I think this is what is at the root of the way in which government unintentionally fails to observe and, if necessary, assist communities in their business endeavors. Over and above what the registrar does by way of assisting with the administration establishment, or as well as the establishment of the associations, I think we should have an item here which speaks to the success or otherwise of the enterprise, so that as Parliament were able to say so many millions were spent, you know, in the acquisition of land, and so many more have been spent in establishing and maintaining the office of the registrar. But on top of that, we have got a community that is now running either successfully or unsuccessfully an enterprise. But if the minister is under no obligation to come to tell us in Parliament if these associations are making a success of their enterprise, then the whole ultimate purpose of establishing them in the first place is defeated. So I propose that we have an additional item which will speak to the success or failure of the associations. Thanks, sir.
Any other comments? Now, remember the proposal that we, under section 17, the annual report must contain the success and challenges of the CPA. Another problem?
I'm not sure exactly what the honourable member means by successes and failures, because they could be quantitative or qualitative. I'm not sure in what context he's talking of, because in the financial statements of the entity, you should see financially if it's a success or not, if you compare it, you know, with what they intend to do, the budget and all of that. So maybe we should seek more clarity on your thinking in terms of successes and failures.
Members have noted that under this annual report, there's no way we are going to get the financial statement of the CPA. I think on H, the budget and expenses of the CPA office, the registrar office, not the offices of the various CPA.
Yeah.
I think you must know that. Another one, Charlie?
Just a minute. They are the department and the director general has to give a report about the and for each year give a report on the status of the CPO. And in that report, all they do to show is that the sources of that we have into still that is not supported. But the report will definitely contain the life of the, you know, the life and health of the CPO. So I don't think it's a tradesman.
I think the proposal by Honorable President is based on the items that were listed. That must be reported on the annual report. Because when looking at these items to be reported about, maybe you can call but J is general. Any matter deemed necessary by the registrar. If the registrar feels that they don't want to tell them about the success
theology and the challenges of the CPA. Who can make the registrar to account for that? Because no way here in the items that they must report about when they present their annual report. I think that is the context in which Honorable President is raising this matter. Honorable
President. Thank you, Chief. In the provisions are made to reflect on those that were not functioning as well. For example, the ones who are placed under administration must explain why they didn't show it. The ones who have been delisted. So the ones who are not functioning well, they're adequately captured. But I think what Honorable Brittany comes to here is also the good news. The ones who are the good news for us, I would say, and even though I enjoy my chosen, at the participants' discretion of the Minister and the Director General Fry and Jay, the Registrar. But I would have no, but I can't pencil any objections to have a clause in the Secretary that indicate that there should also be a reflection on those that performed morale, I would say.
Mr. President, on 17.1, I find it a little bit odd that the registrar will submit the report directly to the minister. Because it's not a constitutional schedule, DOC and it's a line function and this one. So my understanding is that it's supposed to submit a report to the DG and then the DG submit to the minister for the parliament.
But this bill is from the department. We have deleted the Director General. It's true that the Registrar must submit the report to the DG, then the DG must present the report to the Minister. That is in office. Honorable President, do you want to say something about that?
Yes, I haven't yet had any member speaking directly to my proposal. We're still skating around in a sense, I'll take this opportunity just half a minute to motivate my case. We would
hear. No, your case is motivated. I think that Honorable Mandela has spoken on it, and I have also. Talking about what I wanted, because I noticed nothing, that will it be a trace mesh if we insert that line, that sentence, that we need to know about the operations of for the success stories of the CPA to be reported about when the annual report is presented to Parliament. Honorable Papa.
Chair, maybe we should, or should we give the drafting through to the people who are drafting it? Because I'm just worried about the number of CPAs that are out there. How are we going to report on all the successes of each and every CPA? Isn't it going to be a bit cumbersome and laborious for the department? We should actually say maybe what we want and make it an, I don't know how to say, but an overview rather than going deep into the financials of the, because they submit business plans initially, and I'm looking on the financial side, which will be easy. But when you talk successes and failures, you don't only talk the financials, you talk other things as well. So it's very important that that sentence states, and at the same state clearly what we want, and at the same time does not make life a bit cumbersome for the department.
The department has to account for whatever sent, whether they write a 200-page document and submit it, is their responsibility. Here is the proposal, Honourable Members, Honourable Mugoni.
Chair, the proposal by Honourable Filton was responded to. I think you captured my imagination when you said that we're not dealing with the CPA in this section, we're dealing with the CPA office. And therefore, based on that, I thought that our colleague Honourable Filton was going to be persuaded. If we want to go to the crux of the CPA's report, which should really be forthcoming, then that's belonging elsewhere. It's in terms of the sections and the structure. It's not belonging here, Chair. Because if we want to go there, I will then equally persuade Honourable Filton that how we regulate, probably go to regulations. How we regulate the structure of the CPA, like just the pro forma constitution, the pro forma structure of the report and how they should be. It's not only about successes and failures. I think you would agree after having thought carefully to what I'm saying. It's not, the issue is not only about failures and successes. Reporting is about giving a picture. It should be formatted in its own way, in its own template. So I buy the idea, but not for this section, Chair. I buy the idea and broaden it that it's all about the whole template of the reporting format. Wish to persuade that it goes to the regulations, Chair, and not here. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I appreciate the comments made by Honourable Mugoni, and partially I do buy into the idea of placing that kind of report somewhere in the Act, in the bill, if we condemn that it does not belong here. But I thought that here we are dealing with the report of the Registrar to the political office, which accounts to us in Parliament. And so I thought it would be appropriate for that kind of element of the report to be included in there instead of being elsewhere. So that when we sit here as a committee, we know that the report that we must get from the department, you know, will cover these. It's all in one section and not scattered all over the deal. But if there are substantive reasons why it should not be here, I'm not rigid on that. The reason, Chair, I feel that we need to have this is because being a young democracy, at the moment we are faced with a situation where the economy is not placing well. And so Treasurer, through Parliament, has got to make sure that every cent that's in the budget, there is a clearly defined return on that investment. We're not just dealing here with a social issue where we are concerned only with the establishment and sustenance of the associations. Finally, these people should not need to be financially supported by government. And this is where they should graduate. You know, that's where they will graduate. And so it becomes critically important right at this early stage for a message to go clearly, to be sent clearly to them that we expect you to run successful businesses. We have employed a director general, a registrar here at high expense. We're even free to take any member of the staff of the department, if only to make you people, you know, a success. And so it becomes therefore imperative for us as legislators to legislate that into this, otherwise we'll miss a golden opportunity. So let's have that specific report on the business. Call it a business report. If it's just put in that way, the register should know what we're talking about. We need to know about the operations you know, of the cities. We're investing a lot of money in them. Thanks, Chef.
Well, content advisor then advocate one of
I would like to refer the committee to page, that would be page 9, line 21, line 21, 22, 23, page 9. So if you say the finance work, it's about financial records of the association. So there we can see that financial records of the association are subject to annual independent verification as approved by the registrar. So already the registrar is collecting information about the financial performance of TPAs on an annual basis. So in that case, perhaps it makes sense for this report to begin to talk about that financial performance of CPA. It's about now Parliament assessing the registrar, the extent to which he or she will be monitoring the CPA. So I think that the question around the performance of CPA is a valid point that we need to know how are they running the accounts, and one of the ways in which we will be able to judge the success of the CPA office is the extent to which these financials are coming to the department, as to whether the office is able to monitor the CPA. What we know now from the previous report is that most of the CPAs have not been audited. They do not have audited financial statements. And the reports that have been coming, it wasn't clear as to, you know, how is the department going about in making sure that there is compliance. So that will help. But also, we must also take note of the fact that not all CPAs will be enterprises. So there may be CPAs, some that I know, who decided we got some, this is human settlement. They go and build their houses and they live there. You have cases like that in the portal. So you may not have any, so if you want to judge the success, and there are also contested notions, contested notions of success, what a success is. So, but what I'm saying is that perhaps we should look into this and see if we can make, you know, add to the list of issues that the department must report on. When we're doing public hearings, one of the issues that people complain about is these committees, that actually they just renew their term over and over again. It's also the issues around land use. So when government gives CPAs land or they register land, what is that land being used for, any change in terms of land. So CPAs, as we know, is about holding land. So let's assess the registrar the extent to which he or she will then assist these entities to hold that land. And part of that, we know their businesses are running on that. We know that CPAs will open accounts in the bank. So getting financial statements or a summary of that in that report, it might be a good thing. And I'm saying so because I see that the registrar will collect that data. Why can't we find a way of bringing that into the annual report of that sort of thing?
Advocate
Jonathan? Thank you, Madam Chair. It is correct that the way the bill is drafted and the act, it doesn't require the successes of CPA to be reported on. What we're looking at more is more dealing with challenges and compliance. And remember, what we're looking at is the department as the facilitator for the registration and the like. And let's also say a regulator to ensure that they comply with registration. It is in instances where there are challenges and compliance issues that will play an important role, and that's why we require them to report on the situation.
just to explain why there is that relation. But on the other hand, remember from the section 9 that the commandment has addressed, we dealt with the principle that must be considered when putting together constitutions for the CPA. It's the one that deals with the, it says one of the principles of the financial records of the position are subject to an annual independent verification as approved by the CPA. So basically the constitution of the CPA must provide for that, must provide for the annual audit of the position. Now, what the department does in practice is that in terms of the regulations made in terms of the act, Regulation 8 requires CPAs to submit annual reports and financial statements to the department. It is in that kind of the department becomes aware of the successes and failures. But as I've indicated, the assumption is that they are created to succeed. And that's why we are not following them when they're succeeding, because that's the expectation. It's only when there are challenges and compliance issues that we require specific reporting. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with principle in requiring that we also discuss and report on the successes. But that was the reason why we have not been following on the time, because they are expected to succeed anyway. And in the lecture.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, the question, as I understood it from Honorable Bozana and the comment by Member subsequently, is whether in the list of things that must appear in the annual report to Parliament, there must be an addition after J of the performance of the CPA. Now, the annual report is a measure, is an enabling mechanism or document for the Commission to exercise oversight over the department in relation to CPA. And the Commission is asking that the performance of CPA be added as one of the categories that will be reported on in the annual report. And from a drafting perspective, it would not be difficult at all to add that one other line providing for the department to report on the performance of CPA, to ask the Commission to do its oversight.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, sir. Given the input by our convent advisor and the clarity by the advocate, I am happy with the proposal by the parliamentary legal advisor that we just say performance, because as our content advisor correctly said, some of the CPAs are not necessarily pursuing business interests, you know. So just performance, in other words, where they are pursuing business activities, that will be commended. Where it's housing, we want that. That will be covered. So I'm more than happy with that suggestion. Thanks very much for coming to my rescue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also happy to honor the President for raising this issue of performance that our duty is. I think it's a correction on the 17. The number of associations placed under our administration, the reason they are founded. Therefore, yes. Just like at the end, implications thereof.
Chair, thank you. And thank you that some solution is emerging. I have brought into honor the entire point, and therefore, I think you have to carry me along if you get satisfied. But Chair, I think that there's absolute wisdom in having a regulated template format for reports of the day. There's a certain section what right now from a municipality report to parliament and the parliament, including legislature, by which I think it seems like a structure, by which they would then be these reports forwarded so that there is a certain structure required. It would include those successes and the challenges and the recommendations. So, in what is proposed by the legal advisor chair, I am merely suggesting that it be regulated, a standardized regulation in the formulation, a standardized regulated format, prescribed. It's something you'll be having 15,000 today. Reading through their annual report, you have a registrar office or some official in the department, reading through all these 15,000, there should be a consistent way of knowing what you're looking for. Whether they are opening balance, they are closing balance, activities conducted, successes, failures, you know, they are the delivery model and all that. So there has to be some standardized framework. It would be nice to have it in the Act here before going to the regulation, so that the Act mandates the regulations. I hope that Mr. Njikane is capturing that. It's the same point of Honorable Njikane, but I'm just saying it makes us wiser. Just a way of comment, Chair. They're expected to pass it anyway, you know, it just throws them into the So the accountability systems have got to be so tight all the time. It can't just be, that's good. The accountability goes all the way. Why department do you expect them to succeed? But we expect you to report. You report to the registrar reports to the DG, DG to the ministry to parliament, and parliament to the house, and so forth, and the house to the debate and to the public. So it's such a, that's policy for you, thank you.
One of the questions that
reports
to the
Then the second part, following on the
offer to raise that to answer them is that we require the department to then regulate, because regulation can, you can, and have a template in that regulation. Right. But my slight amendment to your proposal, Chair, was that the PFMA is too broad in general for a small quarry operating CPA here. The PFMA would be too general, they would report in one sentence or in one page. So that's why the regulation now, like school reports or something, that's not participating in that committee for quite some time. They begin now to zoom into relevant school issues. They, in other words, the disciplinary code, the water act and all that, how many learners went through the discipline, how many learners went. So there has to be a format. MDM is spot on. That format would come from the department and be standardized. It can't go here, but what can go here is that a standardized format regulated and attractive, something like that, right? But not going into the act, but we can require. So that when you receive these 3,000 reports of CPAs, you don't receive them and deduct them according to how beautiful they are, but there are indicators there. The PFMA is a broad one. Then it has got to move from that broad premise and zoom into issues specific to the terrain of the CPA. It might be the number of meetings, the what was, and all those indicators, the kind of issues and so forth. Thank you.
Within 12 months from the date of commencement of this act.
provided that the Director General may, on application made by the Provisional Association or the Registrar prior to the expiry of the period of 12 months, extend the period with a further 12 months, provided further that no further extension may be granted, and should such a provisional association not adopt the constitution and the register as an association, it shall cease to exist in any immovable or movable property or any other assets administered and managed by a provisional association must be dealt with by the registrar in any manner he or she deems appropriate or as may be directed by the minister having due regard to the public interest. In a right of a provisional association to administer land prior to the repeal of Section 5 remains in force during the period of 12 months or extended period of 12 months referred to in subsection 2 and may not be alienated during such period or extended period. 4. A provisional association referred to in subsection 2 is a juristic person with the capacity to sue or be sued. Any association which has been placed under administration of the Director General prior to the commencement of this act shall, from the date of appointment of the registrar, be under administration of the registrar and subject to any conditions which may have been determined in accordance with the provisions of Section 13. 6. The Director General shall, in consultation with the minister, appoint a competent officer of the department to perform the functions of the registrar from the date of commencement of this act until the post of registrar is fulfilled. 7. Communal land registered in the name of an association must, within 12 months from the date of commencement of this act, be registered in the name of the community or name preferred by the community. Was it 21? The schedule to the principal act is hereby amended by the substitution for items 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, 16, 18, and 20 of the following items respectively. Open inverted commas 1. The identity of the community and the name of the association. 3. Objects of the association. 4. Land or property to be owned by the community, if known. 5. Qualifications for membership of the community or association, including a list of the names and, where regularly available, identify numbers of the intended members of the community or association, provided that where it is not reasonably possible to provide the names of all the intended members concerned, the Constitution shall convey 1. Principles for the identification of other persons entitled to be members of the community or association, and 2. A procedure for resolving disputes regarding the right of other persons to be members of the community or association. 7. The right of members to the use of community property. 8. Whether membership is based on individuals, families, or households. If based on families or households, how the family or household is to be represented in the decision-making process of the association. 11. Whether community members may sell, donate, or encumber property or their rights, and if so, to whom. 12. The nature of the community members' rights, whether ownership, lease, or right to use, and what happens to such members' rights in his or her death. 13. How the committee is to be elected in terms of office, which shall not exceed 5 years. Its powers, the powers of members in relation to decisions made by the committee, the power of members to remove the committee, all members of the committee, and payment, if any, of the committee members. 16. The powers of the association, including the power to dispose of certain categories of movable property without the consent of the community or registrar, and added limitations on them. 18. Financial matters. How the money of the community or association will be dealt with. Who will have the right to make payments on behalf of the community or association? How and by whom the financial records will be kept? What provisions there will be for independent verification of the financial records? Distribution and division of profits, responsibility and appointment of working expenditure, and access to financial information by members. 20. How the association may be dissolved, and in that event, the assets vest in the community. I rest my case.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sister. Honorable members, any comments?
Thank you, Chair. Page 16. Bukhari, did I name it as well?
Page 16.
Oh yes, thank you. I think I just need clarity from the department and from Advocate Rama. Is it normal to prescribe the number of years of imprisonment? That's just a query from me. I thought the court would be doing that, but it's just a query. I'm ignorant of that fact. If you can just explain that to me. And then, this matter of a provisional association, I seem to remember us talking about a provisional association before, but I can't remember what the context was. Again, I'd like an explanation from the department exactly what they mean by a provisional association. I'm talking because I know of a CPA in Queenstown that was supposed to be a provisional association, but the department in East London says no, there's no provisional association. So I just need to understand the context of a provisional association. And then also in 18A2, line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12. We also had this before, and I think Honorable Fildani brought it up at the time. The sentence says, I don't know which stuff, but by a provisional association must be dealt with by the register in any manner he or she deems appropriate. If you can just be reminded of what we had said previously, where the registrar could act in any manner that he or she deemed appropriate. I cannot remember from the notes exactly what we had said then. And then coming to page 17, 6, the Director General shall, in consultation with the Minister, appoint a competent officer of the department to perform the functions of the registrar from date of commencement of this act until the post of registrar is filled. Should we not have a time limit then? Can it be 5 years while the person is acting, or what? Should there not be a time frame? And then I also want to bring up on Section 7, I think it talks to community and all the other places where it talks to the community. If we can just pass that in terms of, are we talking about an association or a community or both? I think we need to pass that one. It refers to everywhere that a community and an association is involved. I'm also worried about 20, where they say that the association may be dissolved, and in that event, the assets vest in the community, but in my mind, the community and the association are one. That is all from me, Chairperson.
Any other comments on page 16 and 17?
It's more of information secretary from our legal teams. When an association is placed under administration, is legally responsible for his actions and doesn't remain a joystick person, although the administration of his affairs is now in the hands of somebody else. I'm a little bit concerned about that, more than anything else. It's a clarifying, question. And I think for now that's all I want to ask us to clarify on.
In most fields of justice are being specified. When you look at most cases, the act, they will say 2 years or both, defined and implement whatever, but the department will clarify some of the issues as a result by in that you will also come in the issue of the provisional association. Because what is in our unit, we got in our unit the provision with the provisional association. That's the one that we have to use. As specified in section 18A.
Thanks. Also looking at page 17, line 5. The criminal gang must be registered within 24 months. Now, there's further provision in section 21 for a provisional association, if it fails to comply or to get registered within 24 months. Now, what will happen if a provisional association does not successfully get registered within 24 months, whose land will that be? I can see line 45, still on page 17, which speaks to the dissolution and that the assets will vest in the community. Would that apply to land? Can you imagine the social havoc that may arise as a result of that? It will just vest in the community. That will speak about to the registration of the land. In other words, if subsection 7 of 18A, which is on page 17, line 5, if for whatever reason, even including a reason which is attributable to the department, and land fails to be registered in their name. Now, read that in conjunction with line 45. In other words, subsection 20 under 21. Then the assets vest in the community, but the land has not been successfully registered in the name of the association. What will happen in that case? Where will that association's situation be? Thank you.
Transitional provision. And currently
Remember it is 58, that sticks to our with provisional association. Which means that until this bill is passed in the act, we may still have provisional association in existence, as we talk now. So once the bill is passed and it gets implemented, it's then that we will generate with provisional association. Now, transitional provision provides for measures or things that must happen in the interim. From the time when the act is passed, maybe from the time when it is implemented. So in the transitional provision, it's normal that we should refer to entities that are doing away in terms of. We only refer to them with the transitional provision. And the 18A6, the appointment of a competent officer before the appointment of the registrar, the time frame, well, that's a matter that the committee can decide for. If the department will not provide for time frame, like we have indicated in the past, when you put time frame, the challenge is if you don't comply, then you are liable for non-compliance. So to give the department space, depending on the, remember, you have to take certain things into account, the certain things have to be ready, you have to prepare, you have to plan for the establishment of the office. Now, if you put time frame, it may be a challenge where the department maybe fails to comply that. But as I'm indicating, it's within the committee's discussion, so I want to give the department time to do that. There was a question of if the association is under administration, who is responsible for its action. If you look at the clause that deals with administration, which is stating, for instance, if it is placed under the administration of the registrar, it means the registrar, for all intents and purposes, is responsible for the administration. It's like, where is the curator, for instance? The curator is responsible. Like in the case of an executor, it is the executor responsible for those legal transactions. The clause 18A7, where reference is made to land being registered within 24 months. Remember, this provision is based on the scheme of things that the department has put into this committee, that ownership must deliver in the community. You can say the fisheries or. Of course, that is still the subject of legislation by the committee. So if the committee would agree with the department's position, then that's what I propose. That land which could be registered in the name of the legal entity must be registered in the name of the committee, which is not legal entity. So that was in line with the broader regime that we accept in terms of the but we accept that that's something that the committee still has to do very well, because that we may not have convened the committee in that regard, and that's why the duty of committee is in fact to agree on what is actually being meant by that committee. Thank you, Madam. I think
that's
then perhaps so that if I get this confession, I might remember that I didn't admit the first impression. If I can read it so that I can understand what the provision is, and then if I can come back to it.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Another question also the open-endedness of the power. The committee has decided elsewhere in the bill where the power has been exercised by a conciliator, but the conciliator could make any decision in the speech. The committee felt that that could be replaced by just an equivalent to try and confine that power to a standard. And from a doctrinal perspective, this in 18A could also be confined to a standard of just an equivalent, which is a standard that is used for Alexander from the education as it relates to the power provided for the legislation 18A. The other issue here that I was just not clear on, and I'm sorry now that I'm bringing it here to members, but it's the issue of regulations. But it's also a reminder to me because members had said in deliberation that because the regulations which will apply in the Act are delegated to the executive, the members themselves would like to have an opportunity to have sight of those regulations before they are published or implemented in order to satisfy themselves that they provide for that which the members want to see on the chair. And linked to that now, Chair, is that provision in 18.2 which provides for penalties, the 5-year penalty for breach of regulations which have not yet been introduced. I'm just not sure, Chair, if the committee could just give us an opportunity to consider that. If from a draft perspective it will help us to provide for a penalty of a non-existent regulation in there. And that we also just want to see where in the end we could provide for a penalty with the years and imprisonment that alternative of a fine without necessarily putting under regulation which are currently non-existent. So for clarity of legislation.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thank you for your comment. I have read the paragraph where it is the registrar. Remember, this provision deals with instances where a provisional association fails to adopt the constitution. And it fails to materialize into your normal CPA. The provision is to provide for what happens to the assets of that entity that has failed to formalize itself or to localize itself. You will notice because it says that that provision shall cease to exist. That which means there is nothing in place, but there are assets which were controlled by the provisioner or in anticipation of forming the former CPA. It is saying that in instance where the provisional one cannot formalize itself, it must cease. Then it means there is nothing in the form of legal entity. There is the assets that are there shall be dealt with by the registrar in any manner he or she deems appropriate, or it may be directed by the minister, but saying having due regard to the public interest. So there is an overriding clause that says in deciding what to do with the assets, the registrar may be directed by the minister or must have regard to public interest. That's what we could think of in terms of providing for that. Because you see, remember we as a department, we cannot make a determination because it is a teaching. The minister and the minister must make some kind of determination. So the assets go back to individuals, for instance, who were supposed to be a CPA or official community, but could not agree them to this or that. Some differences have been implemented. Now, in this case, the issue of the constitution has not arrived. Because you know, we are not dealing with just people, unless a dispute arises in terms of, the people, remember they are not even members in terms of, they are not even members of the institution, they have not come to the institution, or they failed to form an association.
So that's why giving the first of the registrar as the regulator of CPA in terms of how best to deal with that. As I've been also, but that should also, he must take into account public interest. One might also take the interest of affected persons. I think we spoke about this in some other topics. We also talk about public interest. But it's got to be the interest of persons who are directly affected by the assets that the professional association was controlling, which the association failed to form itself in the formal CPA. Thank you.
And the issue of the owners is also being clarified, because I'm looking at the Principal Act. That's not under regulation, saying that any person convicted of a contravention of Subsection 1 shall be liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years, or both such fine and imprisonment. But here in the amendment, there is 5 years. What was the reason for the reduction of from 10 to 5? But let me go back to Honourable President, can you come in the gentleman?
Sure. My concern is still about that subsection 7, line 5, on page 17. I don't quite understand the purpose of that subsection. It says communal land registered in the name of an association must be registered in the name of a community. It's registered in the name of an association, and then within 24 months it must be registered in the name of the community. I'm totally confused here, given the fact that we've discussed community, we've discussed association. What I'm trying to say here, what is the draft I'm trying to say here? I'm totally lost there. I really need the substance.
I just wanted to further extend the issue around Section 18A, the transition provision. And what members were saying is a too open-ended power to be exercised by the registrar. First, in relation to immovable and immovable property, when an association is to exist, the registrar may in any manner he or she be in the property. Now, members are saying they have a problem with that kind of open-ended power to be exercised. And they're saying it must be tied to a standard. And it does say towards the end of that section, they must have due regard to the minister, the registrar, must have due regard to public interest. But members are still saying that any man that he or she is that is too open-handed. And I suggested that elsewhere where that wording was used, members have proposed that we must use just and equitable as a guidance for the exercise of the power, as in this section in relation to moving to that position. And I see no legal impediment from us replacing that word in the chart of the critical as a standard that must be considered as a standard. Thank you, Chair. And in relation to this issue of regulations, Chair, I was saying that perhaps if we were given an opportunity to go and relook that issue so that we don't provide for penalties
in this, because section 19 in the proposed amendment will replace what is currently in the principal act. So this will be the new provision. And my view is that if we provide now already for 5 years for regulations that have not been made in the principal act, we might lead to some kind of inequality or confusion. And that perhaps we should just find a manner of doing that, of fixing it in that case, so that we provide for the power to make regulations, and that such regulations may provide for penalties. And then the detail of that proposal penalties is provided for in regulations, where those regulations are finally drafted and presented to the committee. That's fine.
Thank you very much. The offense is in the Act and in the regulation. The sections provide for different offenses. If you look at clause 18.2, these are offenses that are committed in terms of the regulation, not in terms of the Act. For instance, the regulation, as an example, require regulation A, require CPA to submit annual reports to the Act. Now, it could be that we are making it an offense in terms of the regulation, not to submit a report, which is not a requirement in the Act, which is not the regulation. The regulation requires certain things to happen and require certain compliance measures for the CPA. Like regulation A is an example of that, has indicated that prior the submission of annual report to the register source or to the department. Now, the regulations themselves may state that failure to submit annual report to the department is an offense. And then, so this is what we are saying, that those regulations must, if not compliant, may provide for a penalty of imprisonment or a fine. Now, we are doing that in clause 18.2 because if in drafting a regulation you provide for offenses and penalties there without an enabling act saying the regulation can provide for that, people are likely to challenge those regulations as being good regulations to say the act does not give the minister the power in terms of the regulation to prescribe offenses and penalties. That has been patent in the enabling legislation to state that the regulations can provide for fines and imprisonment. So that's why it's provided emphasis in clause 19. Now, section 14 knows about offenses in terms of the Act, which is non-compliance with the provisions of the Act. And it is clear what, for instance, those offenses would be. That's the distinction between the two. And then the reason why there is a departure from Genesis to Titan, I can't remember myself. But I can only believe that it's because there must have been a complaint that maybe Genesis is too harsh, and then they may be need to go down to Titan.
On the issue of the registrars raised by Mr. Mjekwana, I want to look at that, but relating it to our previous discussion, because it should be just an equitable I think it's 18A2. Way to reach that registered by any manner he or she seems appropriate. Or it may be directed by the minister having due regard to the public interest. So the advice here is that we need to align it to our previous discussion on the same matter. I hope that when they bring the amendments, they will do something to and bring it back to the committee. I think all the questions raised or
communal language, registered in the name of the association, must within 24 months from the date of commencement of this act be registered in the name of the community or name prepared by the community. Was registered in the name of association 24 months after the commencement of this act, it must be registered in the name of the community. In other instances, since the community is different from the association, in other instances, the association is the same as the community. Can you clarify it, advocate Jonathan?
I'm sure it's correct that we have not been able to convene the committee to a regime that we are seeking to create, specifically in relation to preparation, the legal entity, and the community. And that has been the subject of the discussion throughout. Remember what we are seeking to do was to say the legal entity will only administer the affairs of the community in relation to that, and that the community will be the owner of the land. In the pursuit of that regime, that's why we're making it clear here that the city is legal entity. Within 24 hours, the land that it holds currently in terms of the act must be returned to the name of the community. Remember, we're saying that there is movement to make it clear that the land is going to be owned by the community, not the city as a legal entity. That is the part that has been the subject of the discussion throughout. If the community does not accept that situation, it means the land will continue to be referred to the city as a legal entity, not the community as it was envisaged by the party. And remember, on the issue of the community, I'm aware that it's a matter that the committee of fact is going to be discussing it at length. But if I can plead with committee members to look at the community, as the community that is the present of the deal and the act. Whether one refers to it as a beneficiary community or individual, but that is the community that is referred to in section 2. Because that is the community to which this act applies, and not any other community. So and I'm not trying to ambush members trying to convince them about the definition of community. I'm aware that we've got to deal with that length of the community. And we'll make this progress when we but the question has been raised about the community. I think it's important for me to make this point. But bearing in mind that term has been part of further discussions in terms of public section.
Seeing that we started this conversation, I would just like to ask the advocate a simple question. In your mind, and really I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, not that I'm, you know, criticizing or anything. In your mind, is the association exactly the same as a community, a beneficiary community, or not?
This is really unfortunate. I really feel abused, and it should never happen. I really feel abused. You've stated your case, we've listened to your case, we are your principals, we don't accept your case. Finish. If you don't open your mouth again trying to tell us about this or that, it's like in the court process, you're a lawyer. In the court process, you plead, you make your plea, you make your what, you put the, I know court procedure, I'm not legal, but I know. Then there's the issue for mitigation. You don't come and come change and start guilty or not guilty. We're back to that. Unfortunately, you may be chair. I'm being unfair to the gentleman because also you referred it back to him. I think it's very, very unfortunate that it happened that way. We have agreed, in the minute of capturing everything, chair, we agreed on consequential amendment. Where is that? There's going to be consequential amendment, true and true. That you have not convinced us, live with it. You're not going to convince everyone on everything. Starting from your household, all of us. You don't convince everyone on everything.
you win some, you lose some. Football everywhere, that's that life.
Right.
But we should be respected, Chair. Umati has once said, rain on me, because the separation of power. If you did it nicely, Chair, and without anything, DMs didn't take in anything. When you ask if someone moves, then the 98 DM moved, and you said, you know, the committee. That's what I mean. There are certain responsibilities that go to the other side, there are certain responsibilities that go to the other side. I'm just saying, Chair, we agreed wherever community appears, there is a constitutional amendment. So I suggest that, Chair, also to help you, my dear Chair, whenever you meet the word community and association there, regard it as a matter dealt with already. That's why my beloved sister is now asking, in your mind, I can't paraphrase, but that's why she was asking, because we get into the trap again of discussing this one more time. It's absolutely, definitely abusive to us. Maybe in a soft definition of abuse, it's not a matter where we can take a case to court. But, you know, I just want to persuade us with the other. Some of us are very conscious of the lines. Equally, very good of you. You're such a good representative. Whenever you speak, you say we are the department. And that's absolutely loyalty, absolutely good. So expect us to also be an entity this side. When you have conducted an issue in vain, it's then been in vain. I really move, Chair, so that I can remind you whatever it occurs again. When the community and CPA arrive, we agree that we have passed the issue, we agree that we have not been convinced. But the final name, Minister Nguni, can no longer be here. What a good summary he put that day. He never spoke. He spoke one thing. In a community, there can be five clubs. That's a good summary. That was a good summary. Community, Minister Nguni then, Minister in this department, what does the community, the meaning of community as we know it. And then the clubs are like CPA. That's what Nguni had said. So clearly, and I remember always done asking you to brief the political principal, because there was a clear contradiction between your version and the version of the minister then.
Right.
I'm just suggesting the Chair that if Advocate Ramasala is aware that an issue is part, he must just be a good lawyer. And not the waste the time of this honorable committee. And that's, you know, that's my all danger.
Thanks, Chair. My suggestion, Chair, at this juncture is that we park considering that Section 21 until we have got absolute clarity on this issue of association and community. That will include that subsection 7, line 5. If you go further to 21.4, then you'll understand where I'm coming from. Where it says land or property to be owned by the remote association, and it says community. So we need to have a common understanding of who exactly is the land to be registered in the name of association or community. And that's why I'm suggesting that we pass considering this whole of Section 21 as well as that subsection 7. And we accelerate the process so that we quickly get to a stage where we have got a common understanding of community vis-a-vis association. Then we can move better. It's my suggestion, sir.
Members are correct if they say that there was still this confusion between the association and the community. But it assists us also further if members raise that question as well as the honorable. Because it leads us to what we brought to us, that the reality of the confusion and the department between the association and the community. Let us remember that we have also the Section 21, because there's a lot of community associations, community administration, and we then we move to number 22, amendment of the law title of Act 38. But the questions are asked.
Amendment that long title of Act 20 of 1992. The following long title is hereby substituted for the long title of the Principal Act to enable communities which include labor tenants who have acquired land to form juristic persons to be known as communal property associations in order to administer and manage property on a basis agreed to by members of the community in terms of a written constitution to provide for the establishment of the communal property association's office, to provide for the appointment and functions of the registrar, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Amendment of preamble of Act 28 of 1996. 23. The following preamble is hereby substituted for the preamble of the Principal Act. Whereas it is desirable that communities should be able to establish appropriate legal institutions to which they may administer and manage property in common, and whereas it is necessary to ensure that such institutions are established and managed in a manner which is non-discriminatory, equitable, and democratic, and that such institutions be accountable to their members, and whereas it is necessary to ensure that members of such institutions are protected against abuse of power by other members. Short title 24. This act is called the Community Property Associations Amendment Act, 2017. Thank you very much.
When reading that section, we must not forget that when we start into the scheme, Honorable Matthias has raised the issue on the definition of labor tenants on page 3 of the amendment. That reminds me, members, when you comment, you must not forget that. There was that issue of the labor tenants, which members agreed. But meanwhile, they agreed that it must be deleted. Can you talk to the session of the rest here? Any comments?
There's after two things that that member has spoken to, which is the issue of community and the issue of labor tenants. Yeah, and the whole issue of ownership, which is incidental to co-jails, which is incidental to community, the clarity around the issue of community.
The issue of the acquired homes, which, according to the amendment, is supposed to be
chair. It's a very, very complex matter, chair. Perhaps let me discuss both the issue in part. The issue about holding, acquisition, and all the discussions, class discussion, when class made submissions and our own discussion. I think we had agreed that we want hold to remain. Who acquire is obvious, is natural. How can people not acquire their father? How can people not acquire and it will be necessary in the end. So I'm just saying, Chair, that proposal could delete that. It's not just English, it's political, and I think we've not been convinced by that politics. We want to move that we remain with that acquire, hold, comma, administer, and manage property. That's in line with our previous discussion. If need be, I'll start afresh and motivate it. Thank you.
Madam Member, the proposal here by Honourable Nguni is that we maintain the acquire, hold, comma, administer, and manage property on the basis agreed to by members of the community in terms of the recent constitution. We know that the issue of the community health situation is still asked. Do we agree on the proposal?
Agreement with the proposal by Honourable Ngodi. It covers all our concerns, clears all the confusion. Thanks.
Honourable Mother,
I also agree with the communities do want to acquire and hold as well as need.
So members agree with that chair proposal. Any other comments? Member of the long title and also page 18. The end of the amendment, because page 19 is just the summary of your ruling.
Shall I suggest the consequential, the principle of acquire, acquisition and holding? Yeah, in other words, I may not see it elsewhere, yet it's there, so wherever it appears, we send it according to the principles we are adopting. You want to ask the question about the disadvantage, sure. I can't remember what the reforms was and whether you got satisfied or not. I'll leave it to your purpose to consider whether, if you check here on page 18, the vast disadvantage that must be removed. I remember supporting the argument and saying that in the 40 years, 30 years or more, there will be hidden some disadvantage and inequality.
And if we'll talk about it, can we just check and look at what we've agreed upon? Because it's not appearing here for the first time. Because it's appearing on page 4 under 2 that the minister may read jury that to the object of the act approve a community consequence in paragraph D, E, F, or G of subsection 1 for the purpose of this act if he or she certifies that the community is disadvantaged. So, can you let us check it. I think the support staff will also ask us because we want to talk about this disadvantaged community. And we took a resolution about it. Let it be checked and look at what we have agreed upon. Any other matter on page 17 and 18?
Chair, some things come through the front door, others come through the back door. And one or two could sneak in through the side door. That's where you find the windows. With us having just agreed that, this is page 18, who will say through which they may acquire, and so on. I think we've killed all the necessity to further deliberate on the confusion between community or association owning property. And this is put now in a very, very strategic position in the preamble. And therefore it clears the issues if we agree. I know that when Honorable Ngoni made the proposal, I was the first one to acquiesce to it. But I'm saying, if we really are comfortable to say it's the association that acquires, then we need not hold back or have any further confusion on whether it's the community or the association, which is a legal entity. And I know that when we were in Room 249 really, we had agreed that the legal entity is not the community, but rather the association. But when the minister pissed up, he made it clear to us that his understanding was that it was a community that owns the property, you know. So I'm saying if we're comfortable with this preamble, then we need not debate that any further. I'm not closing doors, but it's just my interpretation of the situation.
This matter is referred to the legal aspect to look at this and come and advise us. Otherwise, we'll open another debate and then you say, if you keep on doing this, if you open it, then it will be open. But it has been closed. Whether back door, side door, or front door. Any other matter on page 17 and 18? If there's none, I think we'll come to the end of our talks by the process. We have to give our support staff the legal aspect to process the matters raised by the committee and present the aid to the committee in the next meeting.
Issue is arranged by the committee. For us to the finalization of the bill. Honorable Morgan. Chairperson, just a small one. As we will not necessarily deal with the memorandum, that's pages 19 to page omega. I would suggest that we mandate the legal team chair to also consequentially amend. Thank you,
that's all. That is what you have
said to them and present that to the commission. Just to request, as you indicated, sufficient time for us to go with the department and the schedule advisor to go and deal with all of the proposed committee amendments that has been deliberated on in that region, and also address those legal questions that we still need to go and raise the action kind of advisor. And I was just going to propose, if the committee is agreeable,
want to be granted sufficient time and not to report this in the immediate next meeting, but have enough time so that when we come back, we have exhausted all of our time to address the content of the conversation.
Yes, there is a question from our little advisor that they be given sufficient time a week. Then that will come that other week with the amendments after they are ready together with the department to agree with the proposal of the government. Thank you very much. But next week we are going to have a meeting. We must know lots of issues. There's lots of issues to consider. The support staff knows where we are. But we'll just put our heads up again together after this meeting and come out with the issues for next meeting. What granted the application the requirement to and the team to go and look at all the issues raised by the committee.
Thank you.